This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
The 0-2 is swung on, drilled in the air toward right field. Castellanos on the move, still going back to the track, to the wall, and it is gone. It is out of here. A two-run shot the other way for Christian Vasquez.
Recapping the Red Sox win against the Tigers.
Xander swings, ground ball, fair ball. Down the line at third, this will get a run in. Here comes Hernandez to score. They're going to try and score two. Betts rounding third, coming home. He is in. It's a double, two RBIs for Xander Bogaerts.
Dial 617-779-7937. Red Sox Review with Brian Barrett on WEEI.
All right, well, it seems like every time you need a win this season, it's David Price that's on the mound. You needed to go into the All-Star break sweeping the Detroit Tigers. You couldn't drop a game to these Tigers. They are god-awful. Came into this series 29th in on-base percentage, 30th in runs scored. My God, was that team absolutely horrific. So David Price needs to go out there. He struggled a little bit in that first inning. It was shocking to me to see Price at the beginning of the game today, where he didn't have his fastball. He was throwing like 87, 89 mile an hour fastballs to the first batter of the game, Reyes. And then right after that, he figured it out. He was back up to his normal 91, 92. But every time this team needs a big win this season, it's been David Price on the mound. We continue to say that. You look at the Yankees series a couple of months back where he goes out of the mound on Sunday Night Baseball, a place where he had struggled mightily as a Red Sox. He goes out onto the mound and he gives you a quality outing, so you avoid a sweep. Against the Rays a couple of weeks back, you avoid a sweep because David Price goes out on the mound and he provides the stopper role if you win. And oh, by the way, this was career victory number 150 for David Price. If you want to hop on board, what do you make of the Red Sox as we now enter the All-Star break? They are 9 games back of the Yankees. They are a season high 8 games over 500, and right now they sit at 49-41. We have not been able to have a Red Sox review since this series got underway because of the fact that we had all these rain delays with the Tigers. So if you want to weigh in on Erod's start, you can certainly do that. Rick Porcello's start, you're welcome to weigh in on that. This lineup right now, all that's on the table at 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for the next 4 hours or so here on WEI. All right, so I want to enjoy the game today, and I want to enjoy David Price being the dominant pitcher that he's been for the bulk of the season. The only criticism you could possibly have for Price today is the fact that he didn't go deep into the ball game. A lot of that had to do with the fact that he threw 22 pitches in the first inning, so that's the reality of why he didn't go deep into the game. But what stuck out to me, and I understand you get to Christian Vasquez with the home run, Andrew Benintendi, maybe he's coming out of a slump, which would be great for the Red Sox. But the other thing I look at, especially because he picked up a couple of hits, 4 hits last night in total, one of them was a gift where the left fielder had no idea where the ball is, lost it in lights. But nonetheless, you'll take that if you're Benintendi the way your season's gone. But the thing that stuck out to me about tonight's game was, or today's game, I should say, is the same thing that we've been seeing from this Red Sox team all season long. It's the damn bullpen. It's the damn bullpen. Again, you thought you were going to go into the All-Star break and you were going to feel good. Price gives you a solid outing and Josh Taylor comes back out into the mound tonight. And after what happened yesterday, you felt good about Josh Taylor because he gives you 2 scoreless innings with 4 punch-outs. But then what happens? Ryan Brazier comes out into the mound in the 8th inning, and you're thinking to yourself, oh, man, this is going to be an interesting game again because Ryan Brazier's coming out onto the mound. Brazier in that 8th inning, 4 straight pitches. He throws balls to Reyes to walk him. Then Dixon, a 240 hitter, goes deep. Slider right down the middle of the plate. Then he walks Candelario, and you have to yank him to bring in Workman. On the season, you look at Brazier's numbers, 160 ERA, or rather he was at 160 last year. He's at 316 this year. 2 home runs last year in 33 2/3. Well, this year he's given up 7 home runs in 37 innings. 7 home runs in 37 innings. Clearly, this is a guy that the Red Sox organization identified as somebody that was going to get outs late in games. And clearly, he has not lived up to that whatsoever. You go back to the 4th of July against the Blue Jays, remember? He wasn't charged with an earned run, but he comes into the mess left behind by Marcus Walden and he gives up a base hit to Hicks that drives in a run, 86-mile-an-hour slider, middle-middle. And Brazier on the season, he's allowing 66.7% of inherited runners to score. That is absolutely atrocious. So what today was to me is it was a reminder, because you consider the competition. The Tigers are so bad. It was a reminder to me that this team still has a gaping hole, which is the bullpen. You can also look at the fact that the starting rotation has not been great for the first half of the season, mainly Porcello. And we all know that Sale has been, quite frankly, for the amount of money you're paying that guy and for what he's been in the past, he has been just absolutely horrible so far in the first half of the season. And what today reminded me of was just that bullpen. And I start to think about it from a Red Sox angle here, and you look at how great this lineup's been. It feels like this is going to be a wasted season based on the fact that the starting pitching outside of David Price has been inconsistent and bad, and the bullpen has been bad as well. I look at this Red Sox team. They're second in Major League Baseball in runs coming into today. That's better than the Yankees. Average tied for first, 273. They're better than the Yankees. OPS, fourth, 808. Better than the Yankees. On base percentage, first, 346. Okay, only real categories the Yankees have the Red Sox beaten in so far this season. Of course, home runs, 148 to 130. And you knew that was going to be the case. That was the case last year as well. Slugging percentage, the Yankees are at 466. Red Sox right there at 462. So you've been a better offense in most statistical categories than the Yankees this season. But here you sit 9 games below the Yankees as we're approaching the All-Star break. And what this reminds me of is it reminds me of the Patriots from 2012. That's what this team reminds me of. You had such a gaping hole defensively with that Patriots team. It's the same thing with this Red Sox team. You have such a great offense, a remarkable offense, arguably the best offense in the sport right now. And some of your guys are just finally starting to get going. When you look at somebody like Mookie Betts, who it looks like he's going to turn a corner here, maybe this is the series that catapults Andrew Benintendi. We already know what you have with Devers. We already know what you have with Xander Bogaerts, JD Martinez, etc., Christian Vasquez having a career season. But it feels like that could all be wasted because the starting pitching hasn't been up to its billing, and the bullpen has been absolutely garbage, right? You look at it, the Sox are 7th in the American League with a 4.60 ERA entering today. That's middle of the road. They're 18th in Major League Baseball. And that 2012 Patriots team that this reminds me of was 25th in total defense, and you look at the offense that Patriots team, remember, first in total offense, first in points per game, and they got smacked by the Ravens in the AFC Championship game. And they were 12-4 that season. They had a historic offense, and then what happened after the year is the Patriots realized, and Bill Belichick, not that he didn't know it as the season was transpiring, but Bill Belichick realized we need a ton of help from a defensive perspective, trades up twice in the first round to get a Chandler Jones and to get Dante Hightower. That's what it feels like this Red Sox destiny is to me. The 2019 Red Sox, it seems like the destiny to me is they're going to probably find a way to get into the postseason because the lineup is too damn good. But then when they get into the postseason, they're going to be ill-equipped to actually compete at a high enough level because of the fact they have this hole that has not been addressed all season long. And the starting pitching is now adding to the issues that you have in the bullpen as well. And when I look at it, it seems like I understand that everybody's opinion is Dave Dombrowski is going to make a move at the deadline, but I would also ask you at 617-779-7937, do you trust that Dave Dombrowski's going to make the right move at the bullpen? Because we can look at a guy like Tyler Thornburg, who he traded for a couple of years ago, then he suffers an injury, never the same player, has never been a factor for the Red Sox whatsoever. In fact, tomorrow, they have to decide if they want to designate Tyler Thornburg for assignment or actually activate him. The guy's got a ERA in Pawtucket like over 12. I mean, he's been atrocious at the AAA level. So do you actually trust that Dave Dombrowski is going to make the right move as it pertains to the bullpen? And then you think about it, it almost seems like from my perspective, and maybe you disagree, that it's going to be too little too late. Now, they think that Nathan Eovaldi is going to ride out on a white horse and he's going to be the savior in the bullpen. But it just seems like you had months to make a move when you were falling behind the Yankees by 6 and 7 games and you didn't make a move then. And the thing that really sticks out to you when you look at this Red Sox team and you look at this Red Sox bullpen in general is the time that you had an advantage as the Red Sox, right? As a team that has the highest payroll in Major League Baseball. Okay, that's what the Red Sox are. Ownership is willing to spend money. So when I look at this Red Sox team, did they miss the window to upgrade the issue with the team? And did not upgrading portray an element of arrogance, if you will, with this Red Sox team? Because did Dave Dombrowski just think, because we did it one way last year, it was going to work this year? So if you look at where the Red Sox had the advantage, it's in the offseason, right? Because the Red Sox can flex their financial muscles, if you will. And don't tell me, well, ownership didn't want to spend a lot of money. Okay, they sunk $17 million into Nathan Eovaldi, and they sunk north of $6 million into Steve Pearce. So they trusted that Dave Dombrowski would make the right decisions when it comes to upgrading the roster in the offseason. And John Henry, even just a couple of weeks ago, he talked about the fact that, well, maybe it isn't the best idea to just bring back pretty much the same team. That's what John Henry said. So he was basically calling out the people that run the baseball operations, which would be Dave Dombrowski. So you think about those two contracts, right? You're sinking $23 million into Nathan Eovaldi and into Steve Pearce. And what you didn't do is you didn't upgrade the bullpen when you had the opportunity to flex your financial muscles when that was the best time for you to do it, right? You let Kimbrel and you let Joe Kelly walk, and you don't do anything to upgrade that area of the team. And as the season begins, you have Nathan Eovaldi go down. He hasn't pitched since April 17th, and you haven't been able to find a competent fifth starter, and you haven't been able to give any help to the bullpen. So it's the double whammy effect, if you will. You don't have somebody to pitch in that fifth spot. You still haven't found anybody. You look at it from this perspective, in terms of the fifth spot in your rotation, you're averaging 3 innings per outing. And I understand some of them are bullpen games, but that's not how all of them are shaped out to be. You are hoping to get longer outings, but you continue to bring out the Josh Schmidts, the Ryan Webbers of the world. You brought out Hernandez a couple of weeks back, which now he's going to work as a reliever in Pawtucket rather than as a starter. And good for you for making that decision, because clearly he's not working out as a starter even at the minor league level. And that's embarrassing, because that's the number one prospect in your organization. But Hector Velasquez, he has not been able to give you length when he goes into that fifth starter role. So you've never figured that out. And it just seems to me like it was too little too late with this Red Sox team. And your opportunity to cash in and to be able to make yourself into the juggernaut that you already were, you had that opportunity in the offseason to get some bullpen arms. Adam Ottavino was out in the market. And quite frankly, you waited way too long to make a move this season. They still have not made an external move. The only move we're hearing about is that Nathan Eovaldi is going to be in the bullpen when they come back from the All-Star break. And we still don't have a definitive answer on when he's going to go back. Now, we do know that he threw a bullpen the other day, so hopefully that's a good sign. But I would also ask you this. Are you 100% confident, or even 75 to 80% confident, that Nathan Eovaldi is going to work out of the bullpen? Because when I think about relievers, I think about guys that are high strikeout guys. Heath Embry, even a guy today that's back on the mound, and it looks like, good thing for him, in that at-bat against Reyes, looks like he's got some of the velocity back where he's hitting 94 again, because the other night, the home run he gave up to Hicks, that was a 91-mile-an-hour fastball. Looks like he's getting some of his velocity back. But you look at somebody like Embry, he's over 10 strikeouts per 9 innings. You look at Nathan Eovaldi, he's at 6.4 strikeouts per 9 innings in his career. And you could say, oh, well, when he comes out of the bullpen, he can always gas it up. Even in the postseason last year, he's under 7 strikeouts per 9 innings. So are you confident that Nathan Eovaldi is going to be that savior to the bullpen? Because quite frankly, I'm not there. And now Dave Dombrowski has actually put the pressure on Nathan Eovaldi where he has to be that guy, right? He has to be that guy, because even you say, all right, he can go out in the market and get one other arm, but then the other arm you have is Nathan Eovaldi. Even if he gets two arms, are you confident that those are going to be the arms that repair this bullpen? And it just aggravates you as a Red Sox fan that you watch this offense and you watch the growth of some of the guys on the team, the Devers of the world, who's having an MVP caliber season and should be in the All-Star game, of course. Xander Bogaerts, who gets the contract, and ever since he got that contract, he has been absolutely incredible at the plate. And JD Martinez having another really good season. Christian Vasquez having a career year. It just feels like to me that some of those seasons are going to be wasted, because as an organization, you didn't put together a proper bullpen, and the starting rotation, quite frankly, has not been good enough all season long. All right, so we're now at the unofficial midway point of the season. We're a little after the midway point, the official midway point. Where do you make of where your Red Sox are at? Who's to blame for where they're at right now? Or do you think, because they just won 5-6, do you think the Red Sox are about to go on a run? Do you think they're going to turn it around? Do you think they're actually legitimate competition for the New York Yankees in the division? Your number is 617-779-7937. We'll get you trending in just a second here on WEI.
Kind of it being difficulty for you guys to put teams away. Was this game kind of indicative of that?
I really don't care if we put them away. We're winning, you know, and that's what it's all about. I know it's a grind. It's been a grind since we got on that plane to Europe. I think the guys have done an outstanding job the last five games, you know, winning four out of five, and we got one more. If we win one more, it's 49, you know, and we're almost there. You know, it's not easy. You know, it's a grind. It's been a grind. It hasn't been easy, but you know, we get a chance to win tomorrow, turn the page, and be ready for Friday. I mean, we had to bring work in the eighth with two outs, so you know, it wasn't that easy. You know, we had to, you know, JT did an outstanding job. Those two innings put us in a great spot. We were unable to finish in the eighth, and we had to bring work. You know, he did a good job, and then Heater, you know, he grinded through the ninth. So, like I said yesterday, it really doesn't matter how we win it, how we find out, you know, like have the lead and get 27 outs. But, yeah, we finished the job, and now we move on.
All right, well, I certainly disagree with the manager. I don't know how you feel. Are you okay with the way that the Red Sox are winning games right now? 617-779-7937. Okay, so to last night first. I don't know how he can be upset with that question last night where Alex Cora is essentially saying, I don't care how we win. I just care that we win. Well, that can't make sense because earlier in the week, we have the president of baseball operations, Dave Dombrowski, calling out the starting pitchers. We have essentially an issue with this team all season long that starting pitchers aren't going deep into games. Dave Dombrowski alluded to that earlier in the week where he said, it's not just the bullpen that the starting rotation is going to be better. And Alex Cora after the game last night saying, I don't care how we get the wins. Well, I would say this. Rick Porcello is on the mound last night, and you have a 7-0 lead against the Detroit Tigers. They are 30th in batting average. They are 30th in on-base percentage. They have the second fewest home runs in Major League Baseball. And Rick Porcello can't get out of that fifth inning the other night. I mean, that was a debacle. That was an atrocity. And we have been worrying about Rick Porcello the past few starts. And again, last night was bad. It was another bad start for Porcello. You look at it right now. The guy has a 5.33 ERA. And Alex Cora after the game last night is saying he doesn't care how they win. He just cares that they get the results. And right now, I don't know how you trust Rick Porcello heading into the second half of the season after what he has shown us over the past couple of weeks. All right, I look at Rick Porcello right now. You know what he looks like to me? He looks like a shot fighter. That's what he looks like to me at this particular point in time because that Detroit Tigers team, they're not very good. Okay, they are not very good at all. And last night, 5 2/3, 6 earned runs. And last night after the game, Alex Cora saying he doesn't care as long as they win the game, essentially. I'm paraphrasing what he's saying, but he's saying a win's a win. No, you have to match yourself up against the Houston Astros, the New York Yankees, the Tampa Bay Rays, because it's great that you beat the Tigers last night. It's great you swept the Tigers over the weekend. But the reality of the situation is this. If you were facing the Yankees yesterday, if you were facing the Astros yesterday, if you were facing the Rays yesterday, the way Rick Porcello pitched in that sixth inning, you're not winning the damn game. And you look at it, okay? Bottom of the fourth inning, Tigers all over him. Stewart crushes a 90-mile-an-hour fastball. The guy's hitting 231. Candelario homers on an 82-mile-hour slider right down the middle of the plate. This dude, Candelario, hit 2 home runs off Porcello yesterday. He has 6 home runs on the season. So he goes from 4-2. What? So he's got a third of his home runs this season off Rick Porcello. You flip forward to that sixth inning. Right after earlier in the week, Dave Dombrowski says they need their starters to go deep. So you're hoping to get 6 innings out of Porcello. The wheels come off. Candelario hits another home run off him, 75-mile-an-hour curveball, right down the middle of the plate. And then you think about it. So Rick's responsible for a third of this dude's home runs. It's unbelievable to me. Then Beckham singles on an 89-mile-an-hour fastball. 89. I know that Rick Porcello's never been a high-velocity guy, even the past few seasons. But 89 miles an hour. He is a shot fighter, I'm telling you. And you look at it in terms of, then Wilson hammers a 91-mile-an-hour fastball singles to make the game 7-5. That dude was hitting 143 coming into the game. You actually had Will Fleming was talking about it on the broadcast. Maybe this is a point of the game where the Tigers would decide to pinch hit to try to make up some runs here, because that's how bad of a hitter Wilson is. He's an atrocious hitter, and he hammers a ball off Rick Porcello, so you need to yank him. And it's not like he gets better when the bullpen comes in, because Colton Brewer allows a triple rate when he comes into the game that Rick Porcello is charged with. You go back to the Toronto start, he's throwing an 89-mile-an-hour fastball to Biggio, and then we all look at the Yankees start. Rick Porcello can't get out of the first inning. So for Alex Cora to be up there after the game last night saying he's okay right now with just winning the game. Win is a win. No, a win is not a win at this particular point in time. So that's why I look at this team and I make the comparison. You think about where the starting pitching's at right now. It's been atrocious with the exception of David Price, who again was good today. The only really thing that you could say negatively about David Price today is get out of the fifth inning, or I should say get into the sixth inning, because he only went five innings, right? That's the only thing you look at in terms of a negative with David Price today. But I compare this team to the 2012 Patriots. Unbelievable offense, first in total offense, first in points per game. They're at like 34 points per game, but you always knew they had an issue with the defense. They were 25th in total defense that season, caught up to them in the AFC title game where the Baltimore Ravens just absolutely outworked them, outplayed them. They lost that game, I believe it was 28-13. That's what this Red Sox team feels like to me. They have not addressed any of the bullpen issues except that Nathan Eovaldi apparently is going to ride in on a white horse and after the All-Star break and all the issues are going to be solved. I know Dave Dombrowski is going to make moves, but I'm sorry. It's going to be too little too late, and the starting pitchers have not lived up to it whatsoever. It's just like in football. One side of the ball was great for the Patriots. The offense, one side of the ball sucked. Okay, the Red Sox, in terms of the offense, it's great. It's arguably the best in Major League Baseball this year. I get some of the situational numbers are down and whatnot, but most of the numbers off the charts for the Red Sox. They're better than the Yankees in most statistical categories. But the pitching staff, in terms of the rotation, has been not good, and the bullpen has been atrocious as well. So I feel like you're going to waste this great season that this Red Sox offense is having right now. 617-779-7937 is your number. Brian Barrett with you for the next 3.5 hours or so here on WEI. Let's get to Ron. He's in Rhode Island. What's going on, Ron?
Hey, Brian. How you doing?
Good. What do you got, man?
Well, I firmly believe that, you know, you got to call your finish first. So the closer is the real issue here. If they have an established guy like last year with Kimbrel, all those starters knew they're handing the ball off and the door's going to get shot. Mm-hmm. That's it. The door's closing right there. You got guys like Brazier coming in, giving this 38-year-old a heart attack in his chair every night.
Oh, he's a mess. Ron, he is a mess.
They need to get rid of him.
Oh, he's awful. He's 316. He's got seven. He's given up seven home runs this season. Okay, seven home runs.
And it seems like he's at the heart at every single blown save. It seems like he's at the heart of it.
Yeah, and you know what, Ron? So he's given up seven home runs, the same as Price. Price has pitched, like, what, 43 more innings on him, 43 and two-thirds more. This guy's given up seven home runs. He turned back into a pumpkin. This is the problem that I have, Ron. So he goes on this great run. You find him out of nowhere last year. He's pitching in Japan for a couple of years. You find him out of nowhere. You catch lightning in a bottle, and the plan coming into this season is he was going to be one of the Red Sox high leverage guys, right? It was going to be him and Barnes coming into the season. We're talking about maybe Brazier closing out games. And this is what you're getting from Brazier. You got a 6-1 lead against the Tigers. He lets them cut the deficit into half, and you're worried that you're going to win the game against the Detroit Tigers. You're wondering how you're going to finish off the ninth inning. That's where Ryan Brazier puts you tonight.
Absolutely right. And here's the thing. You catch a lightning bug in a bottle, cool. But that lightning bug dies.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right.
It's not going to happen. And there's a couple of closers out there. You got Sean Green in Detroit, who I know hasn't been phenomenal. He's on a horrible team. And you got help me out here, the guy in Chicago, the White Sox closer there. Again, a horrible team, both
Herrera?
In rebuild mode. Yeah, you can give a couple of prospects, you get one of those guys, and now the starters are going to be making better pitches. They're not going to be so worse.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
I think that has a lot to do with it, and I also think that saving their bullets in spring training was a huge mistake.
Yeah.
Huge mistake. Saving bullets in spring training was terrible. They came out flat for this season. Every single starter was flat to start the year, including Price, who's been, like you said, without a doubt, lights out. He's been our saving grace and our ace in the hole this year. But you got a guy you're paying, what, $23 million a year to? How is he not your ace? I guarantee you Max Scherzer's been the ace that he's supposed to be.
Yeah, you're referencing Sale.
He's on a terrible team in Washington. Come on.
Yeah. No, I appreciate the call, Ron. You can grab his line if you'd like to at 617-779-7937. So I guess the way that Dave Dombrowski would answer the question that Ron had is, well, Nathan Eovaldi is going to be that guy going forward. I find it incredibly entertaining that Tony La Russa is on this Red Sox staff, right? He's some sort of assistant to Dave Dombrowski, okay, an advisor to the Red Sox. This guy, like, almost invented the closer position with Dennis Eckersley, who was on the broadcast for NESN today. And this Red Sox team came into the season saying, we don't need a closer. That's what the Red Sox were telling us. We don't need a closer. We're going to do this whole thing closer by committee. Well, what happened? That whole idea backfired on them. They were just going to trot out Matt Barnes for 2-3-4 every single night. And Matt Barnes has worn down. The ERA is over 10 when he pitches in back-to-back games. So Matt Barnes was identified as the best reliever on this Red Sox team entering the season. He can't pitch in back-to-back games, not to mention the fact the guy's allergic to the ninth inning at this particular point in time. So the Red Sox royally screwed up the whole situation with the bullpen and whatnot. And the thing that irritates you is they still have not done anything to fix it except tell us it's going to get better internally by, oh, wait till Stephen Wright gets back. Was anybody confident with Stephen Wright on the mound last night? Because they had to get Heath Embry hot because Stephen Wright had given up a hit and he had walked another batter. Was anybody confident that Stephen Wright was going to get through that thing last night if he had to go back out there? Heck, you look back to a couple of days ago or a week ago now, gives up the home run to Brett Gardner. And they were saying like, oh, when we get Stephen Wright back, we're going to be feeling good about where we're at right now. And now Nathan Eovaldi all of a sudden is going to be the savior in the bullpen. Sorry, I'm not going to hold my breath on that one because, again, Nathan Eovaldi caught lightning in a bottle in the postseason last year. 166 ERA. I get it. He was phenomenal, and he went out there in Dodger Stadium and pitched seven innings. I get it. But the guy for his career is a 421 ERA guy. 617-779-7937. Let's get to Wally in Fall River. Wally, what's up, my friend?
Yeah, what's up, Brian? I followed these guys since 1961, and, you know, I've seen some pretty good relievers with the Red Sox and some bad. But as far as grading this team after 90 days, I give Dombrowski an F. I mean, he did nothing in the offseason, basically.
What do you mean, Wally? He gave Steve Pierce $6 million. That's worked out great.
Oh, yeah, and he gave him all the, but I'm not dependent. The bullpen, I give him a map. That's a gasoline squad. You're going to light a candle every time somebody comes in there. You're always crossing your fingers. But they didn't realize that Kimbrel saved, what, 44, 45 games. You don't get them saves out of midair. I mean, you got to replace him. As far as Cora, I'd give him a C. As far as the defense, you have to give an A, but the offense is a little misleading as far as, you know, home record and as far as hitting clutch with men on base. I mean, I'm generous giving them a B-minus because there's about six or seven games in the first half where all we needed was a fly ball or get the ball in the air. But overall, this team in the first 90 games, I'd have to give them a D.
Yeah, for the expectations, I don't think you're crazy with that, Wally. I appreciate the phone call. You can grab his line if you'd like at 617-779-7937. With the expectations, I think that's fair. You sit 9 games back of the Yankees in the division. You're 49-41. This is the high watermark of the season, getting 8 games over 500. Now, I understand, if you look at the offense, some of the situational stuff is not great. I mean, you can even point back to the game the other night, right? Against the Blue Jays, the game that Sale was absolutely atrocious in. It's a 5-3 game at that particular point in time. You got second and third against the Jays, and Nunez comes up to the plate. He hits a ball to right field, not deep enough to tag up, and then the American League MVP, Mookie Betts, comes up to the plate, and he strikes out. So some of the situational stuff for the Red Sox, as it pertains to the lineup, has not been near where it was a season ago. But my whole point about the offense is this. If you look at the total numbers throughout this season, they're top five in like every statistical category. They lead Major League Baseball in a lot of statistical categories. And yet the reason they trail the Yankees by 9 games in the division is two main ones. I look at the bullpen has been an atrocity, and you look at the starting rotation has been nowhere near what you expected from it. And I look at one guy. Now, Porcello has dipped off, and he's got to figure it out too. But I think about this. Chris Sale, you have only won 6 of his 18 starts, and people want to cry about run support. Well, you can't use that argument anymore because they bailed Chris Sale out of a couple of games this season. So if you want to look at the main culprit, the main guy on this team, if you point at one guy outside of the GM and the president of baseball operations, I should say, I'm Dave Dombrowski. I'm talking about players. The one player is Chris Sale. Think about what the record of this Red Sox team looks like this year if Chris Sale's actually the Chris Sale that we've known over the past few years. All right, a lot more to get into. Do you still believe this Red Sox team can make a run legitimately in the second half? Can they actually challenge the Yankees? Do you believe in this team if they get into the postseason? Or do you think that Dave Dombrowski and company aren't going to be able to do enough to fix the issues they have right now? Your number is 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for the next 3 hours and 15 minutes or so right here on WEEI.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network. WEEI, 93.7 FM.
It's getting there, absolutely. I still don't feel like we've done everything to the best of our abilities the way that we're capable of doing. But to close it out, the last six games the way that we have, that's what we needed.
That's David Price after the game today. Win number 150 for Price. That's one guy that actually has lived up to the expectations this year. 617-779-7937. Really, since the All-Star break last year, David Price has been your best pitcher because Chris Sale went down with the injury in September. Price has been phenomenal. And we mention the bullpen all the time as the issue with this team. But Dave Dombrowski pointed out the other night, he's not wrong about the fact that the starting pitchers have not been good enough either. You look at the fact that Chris Sale, I mentioned the stat, you've only won 6 of the 18 games that he started in this season. So if you just flip this number, which I don't think is too crazy to ask, that if you're starting pitchers on the mound, who's your ace, right? The ace of your staff, or supposed to be the ace of the staff, because this year, clearly, Price has been the ace of the staff. Nobody would debate that. You can't debate that. The numbers would tell you that Price has been the ace of the staff. But just say that Chris Sale hypothetically was what you thought he was going to be. Would it be outrageous to assume that he could win 12 of the 18 games he started? So you just look at it from that perspective. You're 49 and 41 right now. If Sale had been Sale in the first half of the season, and I'm not even talking about last year's Sale, I'm just talking about like 85% of what Chris Sale was last season, you say he could win 12 of his 18 starts, or the team would win 12 of the 18 starts that he was on the mound for, you're looking at a team that's 55 and 35 right now, and you're feeling really good about your team. You know that you have issues in the bullpen, but you're feeling a lot better about your team because you're thinking to yourself, all right, I got David Price and Chris Sale for games 1 and 2 of a series. I feel good that we can go out in the market, get a reliever, maybe a reliever or two. I feel good about where we're at. But right now, the only starting pitcher you feel good about is David Price. There's no way you could argue the contrary because Chris Sale has been atrocious against three bad teams, the Blue Jays twice in a row and mixed in there with the White Sox. 617-779-7937 is your number. Let's get to James in Norwich. Hey, James, what's going on?
Yeah, how you doing?
Good.
Good. I just want to bring up the Kimbrel thing. I'm tired of hearing everybody talk about Kimbrel. They wanted to get rid of him last year. They couldn't stand him. And now this year, because he's not here, and our closer, we still don't have a closer, then they have rose-colored glasses. I said, please. They do need
James,
a closer.
But James, I don't speak for everybody. But I think this is what people look at it as. If you're going to let Kimbrel go, that's fine. You don't want to pay him the money, that's fine. Okay, we're okay with that. But the point is that you didn't replace him with anybody, right? They didn't add anybody to the bullpen outside of like a Marcus Walden. So you let Kelly and you let Kimbrel go away, and you didn't replace them with adequate arms in the bullpen. And that's why you're in the spot you are right now, where a lot of these guys are overtaxed, they're overworked, because you don't have anybody you can depend on. And you knew with Kimbrel, you had somebody for the ninth inning. And this year, you don't know what you have in the bullpen. The one guy you're supposed to rely on is Matt Barnes. He can't pitch on back-to-back days.
Yeah. I agree with you. They needed to get someone better than Kimbrel. I agree. But Kimbrel was
not. I'm not even saying he has to be better than Kimbrel, just somebody that can fill in that role. I mean, it's tough to find somebody better than Kimbrel. I mean, I get he was bad in the postseason, but the guy was a great closer for the majority of his career with the Red Sox, especially during the regular season. So I'm not saying that you are going to get somebody of his status, but at least somebody that had some familiarity with the role, and at least somebody, even if he wasn't going to be your closer, at least get another arm.
I agree with you 100%. I'm just getting tired of hearing Kimbrel because he's not the answer. That's why. But they need to get somebody. And there are people better than, I still think there's people better than Kimbrel out there, still.
What do you mean? Who?
This is the thing. He signed on, who did he sign on with?
Chicago.
Chicago, right. So now let's see how he does with Chicago. I guarantee you, he's going to be the same as he was last year.
Yeah,
he's going to be like a heart attack closer.
James, I see what you're saying. You're saying there's better closers. And I thought you were saying there's better people on the market right now than Kimbrel. I'm like, what? There's nobody left on the market. I mean, you could have done something in the offseason. But, yeah, I mean, there's better closers. And I appreciate the call, James. There's better closers right now in Major League Baseball than Craig Kimbrel. I'm not debating that. The whole thing with Kimbrel is just like you got nobody in the bullpen that you could debate. At least with Kimbrel, you knew this. He was good during the regular season for the ninth inning. The Red Sox right now are trying to string things together. You look at the difference. You juxtapose the Yankees with the Red Sox. You look at what Aaron Boone's working with. He's thinking to himself, when I go into a situation where I need to go to the bullpen, I'll go to Ottavino. Will I go to Canely? Do I want to go to Britton? I got Chapman for the end of the game. He's got all these options available for him. Alex Cora is getting, last night, Heath Embry hot in the bullpen because he's not sure if Steven Wright can get out of the thing. That's where he was at. He doesn't even know if he's putting a guy out in the ninth inning, if he can protect a big lead, right? That's where Alex Cora is at right now. Let's get to Scott in Connecticut. What's up, Scott?
Hey, man. How's it going?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good. I think your original question was actually, do I trust the front office to rebuild the bullpen?
Yes.
Well, let's take a look, shall we? Tyler Thornburg, Carson Smith, Drew Pomeranz. I'll go so far as to say Price, Sale, and every single pitcher that they've picked up has been a disappointment. So I guess it's not going to be shocking when I say, hell no, it's
yep.
time to sell. If your name is not Devers, Bogarts, Chavis, or Javi Vasquez, then thanks, but I'm ready to let you go.
Yeah, so you just think there's no hope with this team, Scott, get what you can for some of the top...
Do you think they're winning this year?
No, here, Scott, here's my thing is I don't think they're winning.
If they don't win this year, they're not going to win next year.
Right, Scott. I don't think they're going to win a championship. I understand your point. You can grab his line if you'd like. It's 617-779-7937. So they're not going to win this year. I don't think they're going to be able to get enough to fix the bullpen. And you still have questions with the rotation. You don't know what's going on with Sale. Porcello looks like a shot fighter right now. I don't see this team getting to October and actually performing at a high level, which upsets you because the lineup has been so damn good. But they're not going to sell off major pieces. They're not. It's the Boston Red Sox. They're not going to do it. They don't behave that way. Now, if you ask me next offseason, if you come into next offseason and you offer Mookie Betts a contract extension and he says no, he's going to wait till the following offseason to go into free agency, I would trade him then because you got to get something for the guy. And if you think about it, I don't want to be like the Washington Nationals where Bryce Harper just walks at the end of the season for what, a compensatory draft pick? I don't want the Red Sox to turn into the Washington Nationals. But I also don't think that the Red Sox are going to be able to stomach that from a PR perspective. I don't think that the Red Sox next offseason will trade Mookie Betts, even if he tells them he's going into free agency, which I would disagree with. I would trade Mookie Betts at that particular point in time because you already have your 3 and 4 hitters of the future in Bogarts and Devers. Now, I'd much rather have this team with Mookie Betts into the future, knowing you have that leadoff hitter solidified, you have a gold glover out in right field, but if he's not giving you any assurances that he's going to be back, you have to replenish your farm system. What do you want to do? You want to just wait and try to outbid other people when he's not giving you any sort of indication that he's going to stay here? That would make no sense to me from a pure baseball standpoint. But from a PR standpoint, I don't think the Red Sox will be able to stomach trading away Mookie Betts. I just don't see it happening. 617-779-7937 is your number if you want to hop on board here. We're at the unofficial midway point of the season with the Red Sox. Where do you think this team is right now? Do you still have faith in them in terms of can they actually make a deep run in October? Your number 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you right here on WEI.